Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Shmiras HaLashon class learning. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on this very snowy Monday morning. So we are learning, as always, as a zchus aliyah neshama for Tzvi Gershon ben Yoel v'Chana alav hashalom. May his neshama have a continuous aliyah and the merit of the Torah learning that we will share today. It is also with Alyssa's generous permission, a zchus for continued refuah for Bracha V'gaya bas Rachel Gitta, b'soch shar chaleisu. And Alyssa specifically asked if we could please dedicate today's shir as a refuah shleima for refuos and yeshuos and besoros tovos for Zev Wolf ben Chaya Sarah. May the Baruch Shalom grant him rachah meshamayim for a zchus refuah besoch sha'ar chole Yisrael and the merit of the Torah learning that we will share today. I will begin with the tefillah al hadibur. Ribono sha'olam yiratzah mefanecha. Al rachum v'chanan shetizekeni hayim v'chol yom lishmar pi ulishoni milashen hara rechilus v'ezarim ledabra afilu alish yachid v'kol shekena klai yisro o achelek mehem v'kol shekena lisroim al midosav shal kosh baruchu v'ezarim ledabra divrei sheker chanufa machlokes ka'as gaiva o na'as dvarim habanas panim leitzanus v'chol dibur aser v'zakeni shelo ledabra ki im davar hatzarich l'inyane gufi v'nafshi v'yukol ma'asai V'diburai l'shem shamayim, amen v'amen. So I'll tell you what happened. Ribono shel'olam's plans happen. I was planning, I need to find a place to put this down on this desk. I was planning to go back to our study of Maseches Erechin. 2 weeks ago, we took a break to have a fascinating class on Makas Barad, which Ribono shel'olam clearly led me to find that source when I was preparing my Parsha Shiurim because it was for Shmiras HaLashon class. And I was planning to go back to our study of Maseches Erechin and the halachos of Lashon Hara, as we've been exploring them for a few months. And then yesterday, Nafla Ateres Roshenu. Wow. What can we say? So yesterday, we lost three Gedolei Yisrael, three of our leaders. The Medrash says in Medrash Eicha, I'm going to screen share with you to show you. So the pasuk is here from Eicha. Could you see my screen? I'm not going to be screen sharing the whole class. I just want to show you one piece of the Medrash. So the Medrash says in Megillas Eicha, which is I prepared on my screen here. This is Megillas Eicha, Perek Dalet. Whoops, that wasn't supposed to happen. I moved it by accident. I didn't mean to do that. Perek Dalet, pasuk Aleph. So the Medrash says the pasuk says in Eicha, Eicha you am Zahav, Yishne hakesem hatov. Alas, how is it possible? The gold has dulled. Debased is the finest gold. So the gold has become dull. The finest gold has become dull. Tish tapechra avnei kodesh birosh kol chutos. The holy stones have been spilled at every street corner. So the Medrash says, oh, I prepared this on the screen before I moved it by accident. The Medrash says on this pasuk, okay, Eicha, how is it possible? You am zahav, that gold has dimmed. Yishne hakesem hatov, the fine gold has become debased. Tishta pechna avnei kodesh birosh kol chutos. Holy stones, holy gems have been spilled at the head of every street. And this is Medrash Lekach Tov al Eichan. The Medrash says right here, Tish tapechna avnei kodesh, holy stones have been spilled. Elu dmei hatzadikim shebiyisrael, shehayu domin la'avnei kodesh, v'nishtapchu b'rosh kol chutzos. What does it mean that holy stones? It doesn't say fine stones. It doesn't say beautiful gems. It doesn't mean say the facets of diamonds. It says holy stones, avnei kodesh, have been spilled at every street. And the Medrash says elu demei tzadikim. These are what we're talking about here. Stones. These resemble the tzadikim, shebi Yisrael, the righteous of Israel. Shehayu domin laavnei kodesh. The righteous in Israel are tzadikim. Resemble holy stones. V'nishtapchu b'rosh kol chutzos, and the tzaddikim have been spilled at the head of every street. So yesterday, of course, was the Levaya for the Rosh Hashiva Yeshivas Bris, Karav HaGaon Meshulam David HaLevi Salvechik, who is the son of the Gris, who is the son of Rav Chaim Brisker, who is the son of the Beis HaLevi, and yesterday ascended to Shemayim almost 300 years combined of Torah and Avodas Hashem. And in the middle of the Levaya for the Rosh Hashiva of Brisk, we heard that Rav Yitzchak Shaini, the Rosh Hashiva of Kamenitz, my brother was in Eretz Yisrael 2 years ago, and he went to see different Gedolim. And yesterday on our sibling chat, he posted a picture of his visit with Rav Shiner and Rav Shiner's kitchen. And just seeing the the precious and the removal from Olam Hazav, what tzaddikim, how their total lives are dedicated to Baruch Hashem in the middle of the Leviathan of Salvechik. We heard that Rav Shiner was nifter, and then around 2:30, my husband came to me and he said, Rabbi Dr. Tursky was nifter. I said, what? He said, yes. And the news had just come out that Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Tversky passed away. They were 98, 99, 98, and 90, respectively. So almost 300 years of Torah ascended almost simultaneously to the Yeshiva Shamala. And when it's like, when tzaddikim are lost, it's like holy stones have been spilled at the head of every street. It's a tremendous loss to us. I'm unspeakable. Kol Yisrael Yivkos Asreifa Shosarav Hashem. We know that the Torah, Voda and Gmias Chasadim, is what holds up our entire world. And to lose three Gedolim, each in their own way, in one day is a shocking matzav, unbelievable. So, I don't know if anybody saw the short video of them carrying Rabbi Dr. Tversky to his eternal rest. And he requested that there be no hespedim for him. He wrote that in his tzavan. He emphasized it five times. He circled five times. I saw that there should be no hespedim. And the only thing he requested is that the song that he composed, Hoshia Samecha, Uvarech Asnacha Secha, Urim Vinasim Ad Ha'olam, Hoshia Samecha, Save Your Nation, Hoshia Samecha, Uvarech Asnacha Secha, and you should bless Hashem, your holy Nachala, Urim Vinasim Ad Ha'olam. We should be lifted up and exalted forever, should be sung on the way to his Kavura. And I saw that when he was asked why he wants that song, he said because he feels, he knows that that song has brought simcha to many people, and perhaps the simcha he has brought will be a schus for him in the Yeshiva Shamala. So I decided that it would not be appropriate to continue our regular learning as if nothing happened. And I did prepare a special shiur related to Inyanei Shmiras HaLashon, based on the teachings of Chazal and Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Tversky, because tzaddikim af b'misasim nekra'im chayim, a tzaddik even in death is considered alive. And Rabbi Dr. Tversky's teachings are something that I have come to in the past, I would say, a couple of years of my learning, and I've been tremendously impacted by them. And the way that he expounds upon Torah and his Torah insights based on his working with so many different kinds of people throughout his decades of work have, I find his teachings absolutely brilliant. So this class is related to Inyanei Shmiras HaLashon, based on the teachings of Rabbi Dr. Tversky. I'm just going to quote for the first sefer I'm quoting from Rabbi Dr. Tversky. He authored over 60 Svarim. It's called Rabbis and Chassidim, What They Said and What They Meant, Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Tversky. So again, I prepared a special shiur. I hope Alyssa forgives me for not going back to Maseches Erechin, which was really my plan. This is my first shiur of the week, and I felt that it would be remiss if we did not address the losses that Knesset Israel suffered yesterday. Our leaders, mamash, hold up our world and the world, and it has to be acknowledged. And on the other hand, we know that the Torah, that the legacy that they bequeathed to us, is what will continue Be'ezrat Hashem to bring us chusim. So I'm quoting from the last page of Rebbes and Chassidim, What They Said and What They Meant, Rabbi Abram J. Tversky, M.D. Zatzal. Last page in this little sefer. It's called What Do We Take Along? So when I was preparing shir and I was looking, and I have a number of his different svarim, Baruch Hashem, I was looking through the index to see what subheading, what title of what chapter might be appropriate for this year. And I thought, wow, it ends with What Do We Take Along? And if you saw the video, sir, I even saw from the Rosh Hashiva of Brisk, Rav David Salvechik Zatzal, and when you see the nifter wrapped in a talus, a man's whole life, and at the end of the life, what do we have from this gashmis of this world to take along with us, no matter how? It's unbelievable. What do we take along? Rabbi Dr. Tversky writes, beginning by quoting Pirkei Avos, Perek Vav Mishnah Tes. Bishas p'tiraso, it's in English, but I'm just saying the Lashon of the Mishnah. Bishas p'tiraso shel Adam, and the time when a man departs from the world. Ein melavim lo, nothing accompanies him. Lo kesef, velo zahav, velo avanim tovos, not silver, not gold, not good gems. The Avnei Kodesh are the tzaddikim, but Avanim Tovos Umargolios, precious gems and pearls, do not accompany a person. Elatoro Maisim Tovim Bovad. If there's anything that we felt from yesterday's bitter losses, it's such a reminder of that. So Rabbi Dr. Tursky tells it's rabbis and chassidim, so it's different stories and lessons from different chassidic rabbis. Rabbi David of Mikalayov went to the market in the big city for merchandise. When he returned home, his children gathered around him, and his children said to him, "What did you bring us from the city?" they asked their father. Rabbi David of Miyakolov explained he had been so busy and occupied with his business, he did not have an opportunity to bring them anything. As he saw his children's disappointment, he regretted he had been so busy and he forgot about them. Rabbi David then said, "Our earthly stay is nothing but a market, where we are to accumulate provisions for the eternal world. Yet we might become so occupied with daily activities, we forget why we are here. And when we come to the eternal world," again, I'm quoting from Rabbi Dr. Tversky, "when we come to the eternal world, God will ask us, 'What did you bring me from the market?' And if we come with empty hands, God will be disappointed, not for himself, but for us." The context of this anecdote is indeed important, comments Rabbi Dr. Tversky. What is even more important is that Rabbi David turns his children's comments into a teaching of moral ethic, which is how he concludes this sefer. So I'm going to begin, not really begin, but continue by quoting a medrash before we get to Rabbi Dr. Tversky again. I'm going to be quoting a medrash, Bereishis Rabbah, Ches, Hey, 8:5. Okay, if you notice the background, I'm in a different place. I was saying that with everybody home, Kanaina Hara, and it's musical rooms for me trying to find where I should put myself, where everyone else needs to be, Baruch Hashem. So I'm quoting from Medrash Bereishis Rabbah. Again, I'm going to be coming back to an insight from Rabbi Dr. Tversky after we learn the Medrash from the Sefer called Growing Up. The insight I'm going to share with you is also brought down in Tversky on prayer. I looked it up in both Sfarim. It is indeed brought down identically in both Sfarim. And this sefer was published in 2020, growing up. 2020. And he writes, "What do I want to be when I grow up? A lifelong process." And the same in this little book begins, "One might think when one approaches the age of 90, one's growing years are over." Okay, he wrote this last year. It was Nifter at the age of 90. But that's not Saul. So, we are told the difference between Malachim and humans is Malachim are stationary. Malachim do not grow. The Malach Gavriel is the same now as on the day he was created, says Rabbi Dr. Tversky. Human beings can grow. They do grow, even when physical growth stops. They can continue to grow spiritually. Thus, growth is a feature of humanity. I know I said I'm going to do the Medrash first and then come back to Rabbi Dr. Tversky, but I decided to continue. This is from the Sefer Growing Up, page 11. Furthermore, Rav Shamshon Fall Hirsch points out the Hebrew word sameach, to be happy, sameach. And again, he said, why did he want that song, the only tribute to him, if you will, it is the Vaya, because he brought simcha to people, and perhaps that simcha would bring him schusim in the Olam HaEmes. Rav Shamshon Fall Hirsch points out the word sameach, to be happy, sin memches, and sameach, tzadi memches, to grow, to sprout, are almost identical. This teaches us one can have simcha only if one is always continuing to grow. It is important, says Rabbi Dr. Tversky, to have simcha at 90, as it is at age 9. So even though I'm 88, I haven't really grown up. So certainly the rate of growth at age 90 is different than at age 9, but that's only a quantitative difference. If one becomes a couch potato and stops growing, that's a qualitative difference. So clearly in our learning, what we're trying to do with our Shemir Salashan is to always keep growing. I'll tell you, I spoke to Donna before Shabbos, so I always ask her if she has a Dvar Torah for me. So she actually changed the Dvar Torah a little. She said, yes, I spoke to her Friday. She said, yes, she was Tu B'Shvat. And just like the trees in Israel are growing and changing, so too we need to grow and change in our behavior and not speak Lashon Hara. So I said over at the Shabbos table, and she's right, she said to me, we have to learn from the trees. Medrash Bereishis Rabbah. The Medrash tells us, Amar Rabbi Simon taught, B'sha'a she'bah HaKadosh Baruch Hu livro es Adam HaRishon. The time that man came, I'm sorry, not the time of man. At the time that God came to create the first man, Na'asu malachei hasharis kitim kitim. I can remember the word kita, it means to be in class. Na'asu malachei hasharis kitim kitim v'chaburos chaburos. So God came to make man. Remember, Na'asa adam b'tzalmenu k'nmuseinu v'yirdu b'dgas hayam v'of hashamayim. God said to angels, he consulted with his heavenly convocation, so to speak, let us make man in our image and our likeness. They will rule over the sea and the beast of the field. So at the time when Hashem came, B'sha'ach she'kadosh baruch hu ba livros es Adam HaRishon, Na'asu malachei sharis kitim kitim v'chaburis chaburis. So these malachei sharis, these heavenly angels, made groups. A few angels in this class, a few angels in this group. And what were they doing? They were debating if man should be created and the worthiness of why man should be created. Mehem omrim, some of the heavenly angels were saying, al yibare, they should not be created. Umehim omrim, and some of the classes of angels were saying, yibare, they should be created. So what were the, wait 1 second, so the Medrash says, hadahu dichtiv, like the Pasuk says in Tehillim, peihe, chesed ve'emes nifgashu, tzedek v'shalom nashaku. Chesed ve'emes met, chesed, kindness, ve'emes and truth, nifgashu, they met, tzedek v'shalom, righteousness and peace, nashaku, kissed, battled each other, nashaku doesn't mean kiss, battled each other. So in other words, the Medrash quotes a pasuk from Tehillim to prove that the angels got together. The angel of chesed and emes are discussing if man should be created, the angel of tzedek and shalom are discussing if man should be created. What did chesed say? What do we think Chesed said? Chesed Omer, Chesed, the angel of loving kindness, al shlosh advarim ha'olam omeid al ha-Torah, we lost 3 gedolei Torah yesterday, al ha-Avoda, they teach us how to do Avoda, val gemilas chasadim, and they teach us how to be gomei chasadim. So Chesed comes along, and Chesed says, Yibarei, you know, God says Chesed, loving kindness, man should be created. Why should man be created? What do you think? We are Rachmanim, Baishanim, and Gomei Chasadim. Why did Chesed, the angel of Chesed, say man should be created? Man should be created, Shehu Gomei Chasadim. Because man will spend his life being involved in acts of loving kindness for other people. So of course man should be created. However, along comes Emes, the Emes Omer, and truth, absolute, strict, exacting justice. What do you think Emes says? Ali Bare, man should not be created. Why not? Shekulo Shikarim. Why? Because man is full of sheker, falsehood and lies. Man should not be created because it's full of sheker. So Chesed says, create man. They'll do gemilas chasadim. Emma says, don't create man. They're going to be full of sheker. Along comes Tzedek. And Tzedek says, righteousness comes along and says, yibarei, man should be created. Shehu osa tzedakos. Because man will do acts of righteousness. You can take that to tzedakah. We will be people of righteousness. We'll be people of tzedakah. So you should create man. Shalom Omer. What do you think Shalom says? Shalom goes with MS. Rachman al-Tzlan. Shalom says, al yibarei. Shalom says, no, man should not be created. Dechulei kitata. Because man is full of quarrel and strife. So you have two angels saying, create man. Tzedak and chesed. We'll do chesed, we'll do tzedak, righteousness, we'll do give tzedakah. And two angels saying, do not create. Shalom, because man is full of katata. And emes saying, no, they're full of sheker, so don't create them. Ma'asa Kosh Baruch Hu. Kosh Baruch Hu said, ma'asa adam b'tzomenu kidmuseinu, let us make man. You learn about the anivus of the Ribbono Shel Olam. He consulted with his heavenly being. So now there's a machokas in Shemaim, l'shem Shemaim. Pun intended, get it? Machokas l'shem Shemaim, taka l'shem Shemaim. So ma'asa Kosh Baruch Hu, what should Hashem do? Natal emes v'hishlichul aretz. God picked up emes, he took truth, and he threw it to the ground. Wow. So the Eitz Yosef, the commentary on the Mishnah, Medrash, the commentary on the Medrash, the Eitz Yosef says, Natal Emes, God grabbed truth and he threw the angel of truth to the ground. Klomar, Lo Shama La'atzato, God did not listen to the Eitzah, to the advice of Emes. Ela Hichrichu L'tzad Himilitzim. He put him to the side with the melitzim, with the scoffers. God took Emes and he threw him away. He didn't listen to his advice. But now the Eitz Yosef asks a question that maybe you're thinking. There was another angel who also said man should not be created. Who was the other angel who said man should not be created? Shalom. V'hadu lo hishlich l'shalom. But didn't God throw, why didn't God throw down Shalom? Shalom also said, man is full of katata, man is full of quarrel and strife. So why are you not throwing down Shalom? So the Eitz Yosef answers with Rashi. Rashi Zal Teirit, Rashi Zichron Advecha, gives an answer. The Shalom lo haya kol kach chashuv ke'emes la'akev. Shalom's argument was not as strong as Emes's argument to hold back from the creation of man. So therefore, Emes had a much stronger argument. The man is full of sheker, so Hashem threw Emes down. He didn't feel it necessary to throw down Shalom. So Nata Emes v'yishlichu la'aretz, he picked up Emes and he threw it down to the ground. Continues the Medrash. Hadahu dichtiv, like the pasuk says in Daniel, vatashlech emes arza. The proof is vatashlech emes arza. God took emes and he threw it down to the ground at the time of the creation of man. Amu malache sharis lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what's the problem with throwing emes down? Why does the Gemara tell us Shabbos 55? I think so. I think it's Shabbos Nunhei. What's the problem with throwing emes down? What does the Gemara tell us? Chos Moshe Kosh Baruch Hu, Emes. The Chosim of a Kosh Baruch Hu is Emes. The stamp, the seal of God is Emes. When you look at the Aleph Beis, okay, everything in the Aleph Beis in Lashon HaKodesh is the shape of the letters have lessons. Remember, listen, Machlokas, Mem, the opening is very small in the old letters. Then Ches, it's a little bit bigger. Then Lamed, it goes all the way up. Kuf, it goes all the way down. And Tav, finally, Machlokas is standing on its own 2 feet. So the letters in Lashon HaKodesh teach us many lessons. So when you look at the Aleph Beis, the first letter is Aleph, the middle letter is Mem, and the final letter is Tav. It's like the seal of a Kodesh Baruch Hu embedded into his Lashon HaTorah, Lashon HaKodesh. So what's the problem with throwing Emes down? Emes is the seal of the Ribono Shel Olam. So God comes and he takes Emes, who says, don't create man, he'll be full of sheker, which is a stronger argument, says Rashi, is quoted by the Eitz Yosef, than Shalom, who says he'll be full of katata, and he throws Emes down, so there will be a majority that he could create man, because Tzedek will be there, and Chesed will be there, there'll be the majority who could create man. But he threw down Emes, Amu Malachi, Sharis of Ne'akosh Baruch Hu, the heavenly convocation, the angels say before HaKosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be he, Ribon HaOlamim, Master of the world, Ma ata mivaze tachsis al tich saya shalcha. Why are you disgracing your formal signet? You are Emes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Emes. How could you throw down the trait of truth? And they say, the angels say to God, Tala Emes min ha'aretz. You have to bring Emes back up from the earth. Hadahu dichtiv, like the pasuk says in Tehillim, Emes me'aretz titzmach. Emet me'aretz titzmach, or Emes me'aretz titzmach. Truth will sprout from the ground. So you have this very amazing story where the malachim are debating in their classes, in their chaburos, if man should be created or not created. Hashem takes Emes because Hashem says, your argument's too strong, and he throws him down so that he could create man. But in the meantime, the malachim say, how could you throw Emes down to the ground? You are Emes. Like the pasuk says, Emes me'eretz titzmach, let truth sprout from the earth. Continues the Medrash, so what talk happened? I mean, we're here, right? So apparently the angels that said we should be created won out, because here is man. So what happens? The Medrash continues, Na'asa Adam, Rav Huna, Rabbi Huna, Rabba Shel Tziporin Amar, Rav Huna. The great Rabbi of Tziporin said, Ad shemalache esharis medayanin elu im elu, while the ministering angels were deliberating and arguing with one another, umisaskin elu im elu, and busy with one another, baro kodesh baruch hu. In the interim, what happened? They're busy debating, l'shem shamayim, pun intended, if man should be created or not created. So in the meantime, baruch kodesh baruch hu, God created man. Amar lahen, God said to them, ma atem midayanin, what are you arguing for, kfar nasa adam? While you were so busy debating, man should be made or not made, I already created man. So Hashem had to throw Emes down to the ground, because Emes said man is full of sheker. Hashem took him and threw him to the ground. And then the malachim said, ta'ala eretz min ha. No, Hashem, you have to bring Emes back up from the earth. Like the pasuk says, Emes me'aretz titzmach. Truth will sprout from the ground. So I'm going to be quoting the Medrash art scroll, Medrash Rabba art scroll set. Inside it looks like the Gemara. Here you have the original with like the Eitz Yosef or a quote from it. On this side, it's very heavy. Bigger than the Gemara's, and on this side you have the Medrash elucidated, and the bottom you have many often additional insights. So I'm going to be quoting from Insight below. Okay, so this is Art School's notes. What does it mean that the angel said to God, Ribbono shel Olam, how could you throw down your signet ring? Ta'ala emes min ha'aretz. You should bring up emes from the earth, like the pasuk says, emes me'aretz titzmach. Truth will sprout from the earth. Okay, insight A, truth will sprout from the earth. How did God's casting truth to the ground resolve the dispute if the angel of peace, Shalom, remained unchallenged? And if it's because peace then became the minority, right? Shalom became a minority against the majority of kindness and justice, Chesed and Tzedek, who advocated for the creation of man, why not achieve the same majority by casting peace to the ground instead of truth? So if Hashem had to throw one malach down, why dafka was it emes instead of shalom? Right? We clear? Right? Because there's a majority of tzedek and chesed, because man will do righteousness and man will do loving kindness, therefore you should create them. Why did Hashem throw down emes, truth, and not shalom, peace? So the first shot in this insight quotes the Eitz Yosef, which we already quoted, quoting the Eitz Yosef inside. The Eitz Yosef, citing Rashi, answers, God cast down truth. It had a more important claim against man than did peace. We already saw that. But now, the Kotzker Rebbe. The Kotzker Rebbe suggests with a characteristic pithiness, a different answer. Okay, it's in Yiddish, so bear with me. As min varft avek dem emes, vert memela shalom. Didn't do so bad. As min varft avek den emes, if you cast aside truth, vart memela shalom. Memela, you're going to have shalom. People are so... sometimes... you know, it's my way or the highway, and my way is the absolute MS. If I'm MS, you must be Sheker. I'm right and you're wrong. So the concept used to say, you know what, if you get rid of MS, automatically you're going to be left with Shalom. Dispute for the sake of heaven, and the Art School footnote, the insight puts that in quotes, okay? The Malachim were having an argument with Shem Shemayim. On our level, unfortunately, Machlokes for the sake of heaven, in quotations, often persists because each party insists his approach to God is the one way. My way is right and your way is wrong. In the absence of that emes, that insistence, peace, says the Kotzker Rebbe, will automatically prevail. Because the reality is that sometimes our emes is very subjective. And our emes is not really the Shem Shemayim. It's our emes for our own sake, for our own argument, for our own claims. Once truth was removed from the dispute amongst the angels, says the Kotzker Rebbe, they were able to come to an agreement about the creation of man. So Shalom could speak up. Shalom could be heard once MS was gotten rid of. Of course, it's a major Musar Haskel for us. Once we remove our subjective MS, like the Kotzker says, as min varft avekt an MS, when you get rid of the MS, ver memele shalom, memele, you're going to have shalom. So that's one understanding according to the Kotzker. Next, the Ketzos HaChoshen, in his introduction, cites this madras, and he understands the words, let truth rise from the earth, emes me'aretz titzmach, truth should rise from the earth, to be God's words to the angels. So the pshat of the madras is, the angel said that to God. How could you throw down your holy signet ring? Bring back MS, like the pasuk says, truth should sprout from there. So the pshat of the medrash is that's what the angels are saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, the Ketzos says those are God's words to the angels. How so? MS me'aretz titzmach. It is my will, the Ribbono Shel Olam was saying, that truth shall rise from the earth. Hashem was saying here, according to the Ketzos HaChoshen, I do not cast down truth, says God, to destroy truth. Rather, I wish that truth should come from the earth, not from the heavens. Let emes me'aretz titzmach. So this is not Hashem punish truth. Rather, Hashem was saying, totally different pshah, he cast down truth to the earth, and he said, let truth sprout from the earth. What's good is it going to do me to only have truth in heaven? If my seal is emes, so let my creations, my beings, emulate my seal, my chosem, my way, and let truth sprout from the earth. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal adopts a similar understanding of our Medrash, and he explains as follows. By decreeing that truth should sprout from the earth. Again, you understand? So the pshat is that the angel said to God, why did you cast down truth? Truth should sprout from the earth. But the drash here, the homiletic interpretation, according to the Kitzos, and now according to Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, is they said, Master of the world, Ma ta mevaze tachsis al tich saya shalcha, Master of the world, why did you disgrace your formal signet? Hashem's reply was, Ta'ala emes min ha'aretz, let truth come up from the earth, Haduhu dichtiv emes me'aretz titzmach. Hashem was saying, this is the Kitzos, I want truth to come from the earth. Should remain in Shemaim. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzan is Emes Liyakov. I couldn't look it up because the footnote doesn't say where in the Emes Liyakov it is. We do have the Emes Liyakov on Chumash. My boys have it, so they let me utilize their Sfarim. So, but it doesn't say which parasha it's on. But Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in his Emes Liyakov adopts a similar understanding. And Rav Yaakov explains as follows. By decreeing that truth shall sprout from the earth, God introduced a startling innovation. There's a chiddush here. What is Hashem saying? There is not only a heavenly objective truth, there's also an earthly subjective truth. Hashem was saying, no, I want earth to be on the ground. I want the standard of earth, the subject, I want the truth to be on the ground. I want the subjective emes to come from the ground. What does that mean? To the argument of heavenly truth, Emes and Shemayim said, don't create them. Man is full of sheker. God said, that's only by the standards of Shemayim. You and Shemayim think man is full of sheker. But the subjective truth of the earth, from the perspective of earth, as Emes is refracted by the faulty lens of human perception, has validity as well. So Hashem is saying, you think man is only sheker. That's from your vantage point from Shemayim. That's objective truth. But there is also subjective truth, and God wanted that subjective truth from our perspective to grow from down here. And therefore, says Rav Yaakov, each man can be as true as his level allows. Everyone has to be true to their own ability to serve their Bo'al Shem. Everyone has to be true to their ability as your level allows to grow at your own pace. So for some people, they might be working on not mixing basar v'chalav. And for some people, they might be working on chalav Yisrael. And for some people, they might be working on eating rabbanu hachshar. And some people might be working on only eating on badatz. In other words, there's different subjective levels of truth. There's not one standard. What is truth for one person where they are at their level might not be the truth for another person where they are at their level. So Hashem says the world has to have some degree of subjective truth. By that standard, each man can be true to his level. So once a person manages to conquer basar b'chalav, then they might work on a kosher kitchen and having it in their own home, and then they might come to the place where they're working on being makban on chalav Yisrael. So everyone has a truth according to his subjective level of growth. Man is to grow, and the truth is to grow with him. So we grow, and MS grows along with us. But, Rav Yaakov was saying, God was saying to the angels, man is not all falsehood, you're wrong. He is simply human, and we have different levels of truth depending on where we are in our avodas Hashem. So Hashem was saying, Tashlech emetz arza. He threw emes down, not as a punishment, but saying man has to work in this world to find the emes in his life. Man has to work to find the emes in his relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Man has to work to always be growing, said Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Levracha. You are growing at 90 the same way you're growing at 9. And so he wrote, and this was published by Menucha Publishers in 2020. I'm not yet finished growing up. One might think when one approaches the age of 90, one's growing years are over, but that's not so. We are told the difference between malachim and humans, I'm repeating what I said before, is that malachim are stationary. Malachim do not grow. So that malach of emes has one objective truth, and that's it. But our subjectivity changes over time, depending on where we are holding in our avodas Hashem, which is why when Rabbanim pask on shailas, they take a person's whole picture into account. Two people might ask the exact same shaila and get the totally different answers. Why? Because emes for you is not the emes for him, but it's both das Torah. How could that be? It's subjective based on where you're holding in life. Malachim are stationary. Malachim do not grow. So Emes in Shemayim could not understand what Emes on Eretz means. Emes in Shemayim said, man's only sheker. God said, man is not sheker. Man just has subjective a mess. The psak that I get might not be the psak you get. Could be the exact same shayla. How could that be? There's a subjective emes depending on who we are and where we're holding a life. The Malach Gavriel, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, is the same now as on the day he was created. Human beings grow, and when their physical growth stops, they continue to grow spiritually. Growth is a feature of humanity. And it's interesting because we quote a Rabbi Shamshon Rafael Hirsch, who speaks about Sameach and Tzomeach, and the pasuk from the Medrash in question that we're expanding upon is Emes Me'eretz Titzmach. So we should always feel a sense of simcha as long as we are always continuing to grow. And that means the MS might change. The psak I get today for the same shayla might not be the psak I get in, 5 years for the same shayla, because there's a subjective truth that exists in the earth that the malachim could not understand from above. Why? Because the malach is stationary. He is what he is. He doesn't grow. He doesn't change. He is the same Gavriel today as he was in the times of the Avos. That's it. The same Rafal is the same Rafal. It came to Avram, and now it's the same Rafal. No, we're constantly growing. So there's a subjectivity. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says, that's a Hashem threw Emes down, saying the Emes has to sprout from the earth. Okay, this is all have to do with Shmiras HaLashon. I'm now going back to the Sefer Growing Up by Rabbi Dr. Twersky. And again, the same insight is brought down if you have Twersky on prayer. It's on page 75 through 76. I noted it in my own handwriting. I looked it up in both books, and it's in both. Why did I bring this one? Because it's much smaller than Twersky on prayer, and I had to carry all my svarim upstairs for shir. Why is there no bracha for speech and hearing? That's a subheading. Okay. In the morning brachas, we make a lot of brachas. Zokev kefufim. God straightens the bent. Matir Asurim, he releases the bound. Malbisha Rumim, he clothes the unclothed. Pokeach Ivim, he gives us sight. Why is there no bracha for speech and hearing? Rabbi Dr. Twersky Zatzal writes, in the morning tefillah, there are a number of brachos wherein we thank Hashem for the ability to do many things. I surmise and I hope we all daven Birkas HaShachar this morning. Excuse me. We thank him for the ability to move about. We thank him for the ability to stand upright. He prepares the steps of man. We thank him for the ability to stand upright. He is the Zokif Kefuvim. We thank him for the ability to walk. Shalsodhi Kol Tzarki was when you put on your shoes in the time of the Gemara. That's when they said it. And we thank him for the ability to see. Baruch Pokeach Ivrim. Give sight to the blind. But there is no bracha for the ability to speak, nor for the ability to hear. Speech is something where we're not always walking, but more often than not, we're speaking. This is surprising, because in the account of creation, the Torah says, Bereishis 2:7, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim es ha'adam, afar min ha'adama, vayipach ba'ap of nishmas chayim, vayiyadam l'nefesh chaya. God blew the soul of life into the nostrils of man. A man became a living spirit, and Targum Unclusly famously says, "Vahavas Badam the Ruach Mimala." Man became a speaking spirit. So Rabbi Dr. Twersky says, at the moment we were created, we became a nefesh chaya, a living spirit. We were a speaking soul, a ruach mimala. In other words, the ability to speak is the identifying feature of man, much more than the ability to walk. So if we make a bracha that Hashem prepares our steps and he clothes the ankles and he gives us sight and he stands us upright and he girds us with strength, you would say when you put on your belt. So why is there no Birkas HaShachar, blessing, for thanking God for a Koach HaDibur? Three brachos that we recite in the morning, continues Rabbi Dr. Swirsky, relate to our identity. Thank you, Hashem, that you did not make me a non-Jew. Shalom Asani Goy. Interestingly, Rabbi Salvechuk, Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik would say Shalom Asani Nachri, because he said, how could you say Shalom Asani Goy? I was thinking about when I was preparing the Shir, that's this week's parsha. He said, Kaiser are called a Goy in Perek Yutas of Sefer Shemos, this coming week's parsha, as Parshas Yisro. What does Ribbono Shalom say? V'yisim li sugula mikol amim kili kol aretz va'im shema tushmu b'koli va'atem tiyuli memlechas kohanim v'goy kadosh. Rabbi Joseph Bisavitcher could say, how could you say Shalom Asani Goy? Hashem Beferish says we will be a Goy Kadosh, so we are a Goy. He would say Shalom Asani Nachri. So when I said this in a different class once, Aviva Hach shared with me, I think it's Yakiz, and she showed me a copy from a Siddur. Someone emailed me a picture from a Siddur where there is a Girsa actually Taka Shalom Asani Nachri, not Shalom Asani Goy. I'm not giving up Vachik Psak, I still say Shalom Asani Goy. I'm just pointing that as a matter of interest. So we say in Berkos HaShachar for not making me a non-Jew. We say thank you Shalom Asani Aved, we did not make me a slave. We say thank you, Shalom Asani Isha, you did not make me a woman. So it's a very famous question. The commentaries ask why these brachos are in the negative. Why Shalom Asani Goy? Why Shalom Asani Yehudi? Why Shalom Asani Aved? Why not Shalom Asani Ben Chorin? Why are they in the negative? Why don't we say thank you for making me a Jew? Thank you for making me a free person? Thank you for making me a male? So the answer is based on the Gemara Maseches Erevin 13b. There was a long discussion amongst the scholars, and I'm sure you've heard this, whether it was better for man to be created or not to be created. The Gemara concludes they took account, and it was concluded it would have been better if man was not created at all. But since we were created, we should examine our deeds. They took account, and they decided better for man not to be created. The Maharsha explains this Gemara as follows. Why does it mean they took account and they decided it would be better for man not to be created? The Maharsha states the count referred to was not a vote. They took account of the mitzvos asei, 248. They took account of the mitzvos lo tasei, 365. And there are more mitzvos lo tasei, so statistically, we are more likely to transgress one of the prohibitions, the lo tase, because there are more lo tase, than to fulfill one of the ase, because there are less ase. Therefore, you cannot recite a bracha praising man's creation, because man is more statistically likely to be over a lo tase than to fulfill an ase. Why? Because there are more lo tase. There's 365 lo tase and 248 ase. So that's what it means they took account. That's one pshat of the Maharsha. And now, Rabbi Dr. Twersky quotes the Medrash that we spent the majority of class going through with commentary and insights. The Medrash in Bereishis Rabba Ches states, before Hashem created man, he took counsel with the Malachim. The Malach of Truth objected to the creation of man. I am quoting from this little sefer, Growing Up. He quotes the Medrash that we have spent time exploring. The Malach of Truth objected to the creation of man, because the Malach of Truth said man will be full of falsehood. Hashem expelled the Malach of Truth, and he created man. Unfortunately, writes Rabbi Dr. Twersky, Zatzal, man has abused his power of speech. People do frequently speak falsehood, just as the Malach predicted. The likelihood of committing a sin with speech, lashon hara, and lying, and the many other sins of speech outlined by the Chafetz Chaim far exceeds the mitzvos of speech. The Chafetz Chaim also stresses listening to Lashon Hara is equally grave. So based on the Maharsha, Rabbi Dr. Twersky is giving us an insight here. The Maharsha says, took account means there are more lo tasei than asei, so statistically we're more likely to transgress lo tasei than to fulfill an asei. I mean, Dr. Twersky says, based on the Medrash, the angel of Am Mesed, don't create them, they're full of sheker. So Taka, what's the reality, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky? Just as the Malach predicted, man has abused his power of speech. People do frequently speak falsehood. The likelihood of committing a sin with speech, quote, Lashon Hara, lying, and the many other sins of speech outlined by the Chafetz Chaim, far exceeds the mitzvos we do with speech. The Chafetz Chaim also stresses listening. Remember, we also had a question why we don't say, well, Rabbi Dr. Kursky question, why don't we have a mitzvah for speaking, a bracha for speaking, and a bracha for hearing? Because the Chafetz Chaim also stresses listening to Lashon Hara is equally as grave as speaking Lashon Hara. Given the widespread abuse of speech, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, man would have been better off if he could not speak. Just as we cannot thank Hashem for creating me a Jew, because creation is not to our advantage, as per Erevin Yud Gimel Amud Beis, they debated, and they said, you know, it would be better for man not to be created. Why, says the Maharsha? Because the likelihood is he's going to transgress more than he will fulfill. So Rabbi Dr. Twersky applies this to Kol HaDibur. Why don't we? And again, this was first written in Twersky on Prayer, page 75 through 76. If you have it at home, you could look it up. So why in the Birkas HaShachar don't we thank Hashem for speech and hearing? Because the reality is unfortunately man has come to abuse the power of speech and also the power of Shmia. How do we abuse it? With lies, like the angel of Emma said, with Lashon Hara, with falsehood, with negativity. And since we're more likely to cause detriment with our speech than to do positive with our speech, how could he make a bracha? Just like we cannot thank Hashem for creating me a Yehudi, Yehudi, because creation of man is not to our advantage because we're more liable to sin. So too, we cannot extol our ability to speak and hear. In the morning, brachos, concluding, I see the time, I'm sorry, let me just finish up here, please. In the morning, brachos, the expression of gratitude for the most singular human trait, v'havas badam l'ruach m'malwa, is missing. Because, says Rabbi Dr. Tversky, we've abused it. It's like being given a beautiful, delicate silk garment and then wearing it when you take it to take out the trash. If a person were to appear before his benefactor with that silk, beautiful garment that the benefactor gave you, but it would be soiled and torn and smelly and covered in rubbish, and you would thank him for that gift, would that not be the worst insult? The benefactor would say, you didn't take care of what I gave you. Remember how we began here, Rabbis and Hasidim, what they said, what they meant. Our whole purpose of being in this world is to collect provisions for the next world, and we're going to get there. And Hashem says, what did you bring me? And what are we going to say? Because Zahav and Kesef, and Avanim Tovos and Margolios, is not what the Ribbono Shel Olam is looking for. I'm sure you saw a couple of weeks ago, Lahavdil, Sheldon Adelstein died. In his own right, he was a very important Jew and person, a proud Jew. He gave a lot of tzedakah. He brought tens of thousands on birthright to identify with something Jewish in their lives. Who knows how many people he saved from assimilation. He's a lot of tzchusim. He's bred on Harazesim. So what was he? He was a billionaire. Billion. What was he brought to Kavura and Harazesim with? Nothing. Tachrichim. Essentially, we're saying to God about Kolach HaDibur, I don't value your gift. It's far better, says Rabbi Dr. Tversky, to remain silent. The absence of the brachos for speech and hearing is the sharpest rebuke. Sometimes the tochacha comes from what's not said, not only what is said. The absence of Birkas HaShachar for speech and hearing is the sharpest rebuke. It's a reminder that we should take great care about what we say and about what we hear. So may this shir be a schus for Rafua Shalema for Zev Wolf ben Chaya Sara besoch Shar Chalei Yisrael, and may the Halig Neshamas of Harav HaGaon Meshulam David Alivi Salvechik Rosh Shiva Brisk, Harav HaGaon Rav Yitzchak Shiner Rosh Shiva Kamenetz, and Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Tversky bring us many schusim tzadikim apu misasin nekraim chayim, if we continue the legacy of Torah and the teachings that they taught us, and their lives will have been lived with purpose as they continue to perpetuate the Mesorah to Knesset Yisrael from their place in the Taka Yeshiva Shalmala. Tehi Zichron Baruch, Zichusam Yagein Aleinu, Amen v'Amen. We should only share the Soros Tovos on the holy stones that are scattered at the head of every street will once again be collected with Chias HaMesim and the Bias Kol Tzadik. Amen v'Amen. We thank Alyssa and her family very much. I thank you for taking the time to learn with me this morning. Besoros Tovos to all. Thank you.